Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin. Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm joined by Annie Day. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. This show is about a real revolution to overthrow this whole system of capitalism and imperialism. What do we mean by revolution? Watch the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, break it down.
So you've dedicated your whole life over decades to making revolution and emancipating humanity. And I want to talk about revolution. It's a word that people throw around all the time. And people mean radically, very wildly different things when they use it. What is a real revolution and why is that necessary?
Well, it's not a new variation of Charmin toilet paper. Okay, that's the first thing we can say. You know, it's not a change just in the culture, to be more serious. It means that you actually overthrow the existing system and replace it with a different system. That's what an actual revolution is. And yes, you know, there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people, I remember, you know, after the, I think it was Parkland shooting, you know, there was big rallies that were held. And one of the students from there, you know, got up to speak one of these big rallies. And the first thing he said was, "Welcome to the revolution," because there were, you know, large numbers, masses of people there. Well, masses of people are one important ingredient of a revolution. You don't make a revolution with a handful of people. You need, you know, millions of people ultimately to make a revolution. But the question is, what are those people fighting for? What are they aiming for? Are they aiming just to make changes within the existing system, or are they actually recognizing that you cannot bring about the positive resolution of all these different horrors that exist in this country, and we could go through them, but in the world as a whole? You know, you cannot bring about a positive resolution to that, an elimination of all that, within the confines of this system. That is another scientifically determined, evidence-based truth. And so therefore, a revolution means that you overthrow this system in order to, you know, bring into being a completely different foundation in how the economy functions, different relations among people that are not oppressive, a different culture that, instead of reinforcing all this garbage and oppression, actually reinforces emancipating relations among people and emancipating ideas among people, you know, and all the political structures also are transformed in order to serve the further transformation of society, to uproot all the underlying basis for all this exploitation and oppression. That's a revolution. Nothing short of that is an actual revolution.
So in today's episode, you're going to learn more about this revolution. We're going to kick off today's show with an interview with Rafael Cadaris about the upcoming Democratic National Convention, all the hype and the reality underneath that. We're going to follow that with some discussion of the new campaign that we kicked off this past weekend, We RevComs, across the country, to get Bob Avakian's leadership and his social media feed at Bob Avakian Official out before millions in society at this time as part of a key and leading edge of the whole fight to make revolution in this rare time when revolution is more possible. And then finally, you're going to have the chance to hear from Bob Avakian directly. We're going to share an excerpt of the interviews that we did with him on this show almost 2 years ago now, Heart and Soul, Hardcore for Revolution. We'll introduce that excerpt from the interviews when we get to it. So with that, let's get started. All right, I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Rafael Cadaris, a regular contributor here on the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show and a member of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. Rafael, you're in Chicago right now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sansara.
All right. And you are in Chicago because you're getting ready for the criminal convention of the Party of War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity, the Democratic Party, that is taking place very soon. Why don't you tell us what's going down and how you see this convention?
So as people may know, next week in Chicago, the 19th through the 22nd, is going to be the Democratic National Convention. tens of thousands of people coming to Chicago from all over the country to celebrate the coronation of, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. The eyes of the world are going to be watching what's going down in Chicago. This is an opportunity and a need for us to get out there in a major way and bust through the hype around Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You know, supposedly all the pundits are saying that they're putting the joy back in politics, that they're promoting optimism. No, they're promoting oppression and putting the joy back in genocide. You know, so we should talk about this, what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and the Democratic Party, as you said, a party of war crimes and crimes against humanity, what they actually represent and what the RevComs need to be out there doing. You know, and everyone who's hearing this message, come and join with us next week in Chicago as we bring a message of revolution. Our only options are not fascist Trump versus, you know, cold-blooded Kamala Harris. You know, our real choice is, are we going to get organized for a revolution to get rid of this whole system? And there is an alternative to this. You know, Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader that's developed a whole new communism and a strategy for revolution in this time we're living in now. You know, these are not our only choices. You know, we got to choose revolution, and people got to get with the force for revolution, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. We're going to be out there in the streets joining with the protest, but bringing a message of revolution right into this, you know, Democratic convention where we're all supposed to be getting behind a bunch of war criminals, mass incarcerators, fascism deniers. So let's talk more about it.
There is a dizzying level, almost unprecedented level of enthusiasm and hype being whipped up among decent people, people who should know better, for Kamala, for Tim Walz. You know, just a few weeks ago, a lot of decent people were really demoralized. They're starting to look at the looming fascism of Trump. They're disheartened by the genocide in Gaza. And they just were feeling defeated and like there was no way to go up against this. And then Biden dropped out. Kamala was anointed. A whole propaganda machine got going behind her. All of a sudden, people are thinking she is like the greatest thing, maybe since Obama. And there's probably lessons there, too. I think it'd be important for you to go a little further on why you call this putting the joy back in genocide. Why you know, the optimism and oppression. What is really underneath this?
Well, just 4 days ago or something, the state of Israel with weaponry from the United States, from the Biden administration, which very much includes Kamala Harris, dropped a bomb on a school in Gaza City that slaughtered 100 people.
We can't show you the full horror of this scene. The floors covered with bodies, blood, and limbs.
There was no bodies recognizable, just little pieces of flesh. And they gave, the families were given bags of 70 kilograms of random flesh because the bodies were so torn up by the weapons that are being supplied by the United States of America. You know, don't be fooled by Kamala Harris's honeyed words about how she cares about the Palestinian people. She doesn't give a fuck about the Palestinian people. She doesn't give a fuck about them. You know, what she gives a fuck about is serving the interests of U.S. imperialism, which means having the state of Israel as a loyal attack dog, serving U.S. interests in that region. And right now, that means the real danger of, you know, this war spiraling out into wider regional war. The U.S., you know, is continuing to back Israel as Israel assassinates, you know, leaders of Hamas in Iran, assassinates leaders of Hezbollah in Lebanon. There's a real danger of this spiraling out into a much wider war. And remember, Iran and Hezbollah are also backed by Russia, which is a nuclear armed power. Israel is a nuclear armed power. There's a real danger of this turning into wider war. This is what the Democrats represent. This is what Kamala Harris represents. She is a war criminal, drenched in the blood of the Palestinian people and endangering all of humanity. You know, and if you want to look at her record on domestic questions, the oppression of Black people, which is right at the core of this country, don't be fooled by having a Black face now in power. You know, haven't we seen this play before? Haven't we seen this movie before? When they elected Obama, you know, in 2008, spent 8 years in power. Did that stop the oppression of black people? Did that stop the police murder? No, the cops killed 1,000 people every year that Obama was in power. Mass incarcerated black and brown people, you know, nearly the highest incarceration rate in the world, you know, in this country under Obama. Drone bombed 7 countries, escalated production of oil, fracking, all that under Obama. Did any of that change? Did things get better for black people, for women, for LGBT people, for the people of the world under Obama? Haven't we seen this play before? This is what the Democrats represent, but it's not just the Democrats. It's not just Kamala, who has been a cold-blooded persecutor of black and brown people since for decades now, since she was a prosecutor in California and in the Bay Area and then in the state of California. It's not just Kamala Harris. It's a system. It's a system that has of capitalism, imperialism. And if you don't play by the rules of that system, you are out, you know. And if you want to be commander in chief of this system and you want to rise up the ranks of this capitalist imperialist system, you got to be as ruthless and as cutthroat as this system requires. You know, and that's what Kamala Harris has proven over and over and over again to do, you know, and that's why we're going to the DNC and we're breaking people out of this hype and delusion. Some of us were having a conversation earlier today about, is the right metaphor for Kamala Harris and the Democrats and the Democratic National Convention is the right metaphor that they're giving out opium and fentanyl to the people to put them to sleep? Or is the right metaphor that they're giving people crack to hype them up? You know, I personally think it's more like crack to hype them up with this, you know, euphoric delusion, you know, about Kamala is going to change anything. No, we need revolution, nothing less. You know, and that's why we're going to the Democratic Convention. And the most important thing that we're bringing there is the work and leadership of Bob Avakian. No one else is even talking about a real revolution, you know, and has a plan for a real revolution. And there's going to be people out there, you know, very importantly, tens of thousands, I hope, you know, at least thousands, hopefully tens of thousands of people out there protesting, you know, demanding a stop to this genocide. But none of them are saying what Bob Avakian's saying. You know, I was just listening to one of these leaders of the protests movement, one of these so-called socialists, who is saying that the system's going to just collapse on its own, you know, from its own contradictions. Bullshit. He was quoted in the LA Times saying this. No, this system is destroying the environment. This system's pushing things to world war. This system's giving rise to fascism. We are going to end up with the destruction of humanity before we just end up with, you know, socialism falling into our laps because the system collapsed. We got to fight for this. We got to fight for this, which is not what these so-called socialists are about, you know, but it's up to us. So we're calling on people, come join the RevCom Corps at this. Bring this message of revolution. Bring the leadership that we have for revolution to this convention. No one else is going to do it but us. And it is an opportunity, once again, with the eyes of the world on and so many people getting politicized now. You know, like you said, everyone was, you know, despairing 3 weeks ago. Now they're all excited. All right, well, that excitement is going to wear off, you know, and we got to help them wear off faster. But we also got to lead people in a different direction.
All right, Raphael, you brought alive really powerfully just now the truly criminal, horrific nature of what these Democrats are, what they stand for, what this whole system is actually at its core. So what are your plans? What are the plans for the RevComs on the ground in Chicago, when the eyes of the world, when millions of eyes are going to be trained on Chicago, when protesters are going to be coming into the city, when media is going to be concentrated there? What's the message you're going to be putting out? How are you going to be acting? And for people who resonated with what you just exposed about these Democrats who don't want to be party to that and who do want to be part of bringing forward the only real alternative, a real revolution led by Bob Avakian, the whole new communism he's brought forward. For people who want to see that strengthened in this time, what should they be doing as well?
So we are staging a political and ideological intervention at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. But this is also what people can be part of, you know, all over the country, whatever city you're in. Trust me, this Democratic National Convention is not just going to be a Chicago thing. This is how they're whipping people up to, you know, go along with the crimes that the system's carrying out and get people, you know, believing the hype about Kamala Harris while, you know, they also lull people to sleep in the face of, you know, Trump and these Republican fascists who are getting ready for civil war if they don't win this election. You know, they think this is a final battle. They think Trump is on a mission from God. They are not going to accept the results, even if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz win this election. So this is really serious. People got to reckon with what time it is. And we have to bring people what they really need, you know, which is the leadership of Bob Avakian every single week. You know, just this past week, Bob Avakian came out with these messages directly about Kamala Harris, Tim Walz. The first one was Revolution number 71. It was titled "Supporting a Mass Murderer and Mass Incarcerator Running for President. Who could be so desperate and deluded?" You know, this message was so challenging to the people who are caught up in the hype. And Bob Avakian brings the reality, both about what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz really represent, but also the reality of the revolution that's needed and possible in this moment. You know, the latest one, Revolution number 72, is titled "Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and the Rest. We don't need your promise of America. We need a revolution to put an end to your system." You know, and he breaks down what the promise of America really has represented from slavery all the way up to the present. And the so-called founding fathers that, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are promoting and supposed to get people excited and worshiping. So, you know, it tells you a lot about what kind of what these leaders really represent. There was another one, number 69, where Bob Avakian raised the question of how come these, you know, politicians are always bragging about their history as prosecutors and as veterans, i.e. war criminals for this U.S. military. So, you know, we got a veteran and a prosecutor running for president right now. What does that tell you about the nature of this system? So this is fire agitation, you know, and it needs to get out there. And it's revolutionary leadership and guidance in this moment to break people out of the bourgeois electoral bullshit and into the revolution that's needed and challenge people to actually become part of the forces for revolution. And we're going to be getting this out there. We're going to have sound trucks. We're going to have creative banner drops. We're going to be out in the middle of these protests, getting this out to all the protesters. We're going to be going to where the media is. We're not going to give all the plans right here on this in this interview, but DM at the RevComs or DM the RevCom Corps Chi. That's for the RevCom Corps Chicago. And wherever you are in the country, go to revcom.us, download the materials, be part of spreading at Bob Avakian Official everywhere throughout your city. Go out on the street, go out on the train and start agitating about this Democratic National Convention. Tell people to break out of the bourgeois electoral bullshit and start following this leader, this revolution, and make a huge donation so that we can get this campaign and this revolution out far and wide. And seriously, DM us to be part of this, the actual movement, the actual forces for revolution in this moment where it can make all the difference.
Rafael Cadaris, I'm so glad that you're down on the ground in Chicago. I'm glad you were able to make the time to talk with us and make a powerful impact. And I hope people answer the call you put out all over the country to do this wherever you are as well.
All right. Thanks, Sensar.
And to take us out of this segment, we're going to play just a snippet from Bob Avakian's social media message, Revolution number 71, to give you a feel for it.
We don't have to choose between mass murderers and plunderers of people and the environment. We can seize on this rare opportunity to build up the basis for revolution, getting organized now in the thousands with the basis to win over millions and go all out to seize on this rare opportunity to make a real emancipating revolution. It's time to cast away foolish and harmful illusions, trying to turn enforcers of a monstrous system like Kamala Harris into some kind of heroes. time to get with the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity and actively work for the revolution that is urgently needed and is possible in this time we are living in now.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Last weekend, we kicked off a national campaign to get the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian's voice in front of millions as a key part, the essential part of preparing now to seize on the openings for revolution in this time. We had meetings all across the country. Andy Z spoke to a packed house in New York City at Revolution Books.
We're going to work together to undertake something that's going to really matter more than you can really fathom. Or any of us can really fathom. We're going to be talking about a way to wrench humanity from the collision course that it's on, that's heading to even greater misery and horror for humanity by the day and by the week. Today, we're going to dig into a campaign that is the leading edge of the way out of the madness that's just pervading society. And this is the national campaign, as Carl said, to make the social media dispatches of Bob Avakian, at Bob Avakian official, known everywhere, bringing forward legions of followers. Yes, followers of his social media. But even more fundamental, followers of Bob Avakian and the leadership he is providing for an actual revolution for the emancipation of humanity in this time that we are living in and in this place, the most powerful empire in human history. This is a national campaign. It's not just something we're doing in New York. It's a national campaign, which is why I'm here. Other comrades are in Chicago, in Texas, where else? Bay Area and certainly in Los Angeles, where people are meeting today, same day, all around the country to figure out how we break out of an encirclement and a narrow circle of people to impact millions of people and bring forward thousands of people in the time we're living in right now. This is a national campaign to reach millions of people. This is a campaign that will combine paid advertising and promotion and a real battle for ideas that all of us have to wage online, on the internet, with hundreds of thousands of people diving into the thick of the controversy that does go down on the internet to spread and to fight for, to struggle hard for, these revolutionary dispatches from Bob Avakian. But for this campaign to break through, to become a thing that I'm talking about, where it's impacting millions of people, it's going to be involve combining this online battle with a serious, audacious, and creative on-the-grounds movement. It's not, it can't just happen online. Somebody will maybe here will raise their hand and say, I think we should go viral. Okay. Well, we should. But part of that is going to be what we do. We've got to become the force, the serious force, without losing our sense of humor, and certainly not our empathy for humanity. We've got to become a serious force on the ground that is actually making a difference in the world, that's actually fighting for this, and that will intersect with and interact with what we do online. This is going to be a ferocious fight. And we're going to start with a feeling of up from the underground.
This point from Andy about how this campaign to get Bob Avakian's leadership and his social media messages out throughout society, that this is going to be a real battle. It's going up against the ingrained ways that people think, the ways that this system has conditioned and trained them to think and reinforces. This, the controversy of that was a big theme at all of the meetings held last weekend. And it's really important that we lean into this. This is something that David from the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity up in Berkeley and in the Bay Area spoke to at Revolution Books there. We want to play just a snippet of that.
This is going up against a lot of tradition. Individualism in the self. I'm not going to have a leader. I'm not going to have someone tell me what to do. Woke identity politics. Well, this is an old white man. I'm not going to follow an old white man. I only follow someone that looks like me. There's so many things that we're not even to talk about the anti-communism that gets pumped out in society. The accusation that Bob Avakian is some type of cult leader, when that's the furthest f-ing thing from the truth. These are actually things that a lot of people believe in right now and that make this a battle. This battle, this campaign, it's a real battle for the future of humanity. It's a battle for the future of this country as part of the overall battle for the world and for really emancipating all of humanity. But there's a real crucial time that we're going into. And part of, you know, what I was trying to lay out is 14 weeks. 14 weeks. We're not talking about months. We're definitely not talking about years. We're talking about 14 weeks to a scheduled presidential election, where by then things are likely to break all that, break open, and to really hitting the fan. That's what we're talking about here, and the urgency of what we're facing, but also the potential of what Bob Avakian can play within all of this. If people are actually following what he's saying, meaning literally going to see what is his analysis on day-to-day issues, when things happen, going immediately through his social media, but even deeper than that, learning the method that he's applying, learning the approach that he's applying, and what strategy is he applying? Why is he doing these things? What direction is he trying to take things? And then join the movement that he's leading. Join the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity that is applying the strategic approach that he's developed. That's what it means, and I think it's gonna be a fight, and it will be a battle. It's gonna be a controversial one, especially throughout the country. We're not just doing this here in the Bay Area. This is going to have impact throughout the country. How are different forces going to respond? How are the fascists going to respond? How are these wokesters, the Democrats, all these different forces, basic masses, regular people? There's no telling what can happen in this extremely tense situation.
So we're in a race against time to seize what needs to become what we need to wrench open, a revolutionary opening. And key in that is Bob Avakian's voice, is getting his social media messages in front of millions throughout society now. So Andy talked about working on this campaign from two ends, the online targeted advertising and on the ground, bold, audacious actions. So how can you be part of that? Well, this weekend in cities across the country, we're doing in the days before the Democratic National Convention, we're doing a national kickoff weekend. So that means one, we need to raise $10,000 for targeted online advertising to reach people who are going to be tuned into the Democratic National Convention, who are having their thinking shaped along the lines of the bullshit choices that this system is trying to present them with, and get these ads, get Bob Avakian's voice in front of people on Instagram and YouTube. And if we spend at least $5,000 on this online advertising, we can get this in front of at least 500,000 people. So that's on the one hand. But okay, you see an online ad, you know, maybe it catches you, maybe it doesn't. But then combine that with seeing people on the ground, banner drops, flyers and posters everywhere, really unignorable actions. That starts to work together. So that's our plan to kick this off on the right footing. And we're going to learn a great deal. We're going to learn a great deal working all together across the country. So make a donation to this initial $10,000 goal. And just to give a sense, we're going to raise like tens and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is just to kick us off on the right footing. So make a donation, be part of raising funds for this, which is part of organizing the forces for revolution. Download materials at revcom.us and send us your ideas. And let's be part of really changing the face of everything online, in the air, in what people are thinking about, debating and arguing. So now we're going to play another clip from David from the meeting he led at the Revolution Books in the Bay Area, and he talks even more about leaning into the controversy, and you know, it's powerful. There's a lot to learn.
If we're going to actually set about making this revolution that we're taking up, this challenge, this mission of sweeping away this system, we're going to need the new communism of Bob Avakian to lead, because there's no one else who's done the work to develop a strategy for revolution. There's no one else that's developed a vision for a new socialist society that's actually viable. And there's no one else that's taken up the responsibility to sum up the lessons over the last 50 years of communist revolution and of all of reality, to deepen the science of communism and to actually bring into being a whole new framework for human emancipation. That's what the new communism is about. And that's what Bob Avakian is about. And I think it's important for us not to be defensive about that. The point of what BA makes in that point of like, yeah, these people, but you gotta step back and actually think about what this is all for. What are we doing this for? For whom and for what? We're doing this for the masses of oppressed people throughout the world. We're doing this for a revolution that can actually do away with all of their unnecessary suffering and that can bring into being a whole new world for humanity. That's what this is all for. So if somebody comes up and they want to put this bullshit out there, we're taking on all comers, but at the same time, we're not going to waste our time. And I think it's important to think about the point that Leo was making. It is very important that this campaign leans into the controversy. It's very important that we actually spread that controversy online and in real life. Because people do learn from contrast. That is the point that BA was making in the interview. People learn sometimes the most from that contrast. And it's very important that be out in society as a whole. That this high-class, revolutionary, communist leader, world-class leader, up against who? Up against Kamala, mass murderer, mass incarcerator? Up against the PSL and their candidates who have no chance of winning to begin with, and even if their vision of a different society was carried out, it'd be a vision that's f***ing bankrupt, a vision that's empty, heartless, with no f***ing soul, where people are just reduced to being producers in society, and the government just f***ing gives them their welfare needs, and they're not actually making the decisions that are required to put an end to oppression and exploitation. You want to compare that? We can compare that. We can contrast that. And we'll get into it and we'll debate it, but we're going to do it on certain terms. We're going to do it on lofty terms. We're not going to get pulled down within all of this. But I do think it is important for us to continually come back to this and to learn from the approach that BA takes in all of this. And to lean, and speaking of leaning into the controversy, this is going to be one of the main posters that we're taking out nationwide. Stop following the bourgeois electoral bullshit. Start following at Baba Making Official. So this is an example of leaning into the controversy and of that compare and contrast. That we're going to actually take this fight out to society and take the offensive that people need to follow BA and people actually need to get with this revolution.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
Yeah, the people, they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and wanting peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy. But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, APAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm, but it's too late. We've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered, and then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I've seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and writhing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with the state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy and violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. If students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law. And a reason to call and the police and their squad were to genocide land in your definition, huh? Destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque. Pushing everyone into Rafah and dropping bombs. The blood is on your hands, Biden, we can see it all. And fuck no, I'm not voting for you in the fall. Undecided, you can't twist the truth. The people out here united. Never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon. Yet the music industry's quiet, complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'll be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.
Okay, so I want to be like David and hold up the beautiful poster and also let you know that we have stickers. Stop following the bourgeois electoral bullshit with Kamala and Trump's faces with the BEB on it. Start following at Bob Avakian Official with Bob Avakian's face. These all over the place will be a great provocation together with the posters and other things during the week of the DNC. So get involved in the campaign, and now we want to share with you a section of the interview that we did here on the Revolution Nothing Less show with Bob Avakian almost 2 years ago now that'll give you a deeper sense of this revolutionary leader, who he is, the kind of person he is, the kind of science and substance that he is, the prism through which he sees the world and leads you to understand and look at the world as well. And we want to show where I asked him how he handles living with the level of hostility and hate that is thrown at him for daring to take the responsibility to lead an actual revolution, to forge a new framework for human emancipation, to chart the uncharted course and to carry that responsibility. It's actually a clip that David was referencing in what you just heard from him. So let's see how Bob Avakian answers that question. On our website, RevCom.us, we have a very important statement that makes the point that you are deeply loved by people here and people all over the world for the very same reason that you are viciously hated. You are the foremost revolutionary leader and thinker in the world today. And you are fighting for and you concentrate the most radical rupture with the way the world is currently organized and structured and all the ways that people relate and think that are bound up with the way the world currently is. And recently there's been an upsurge of attacks on you, really ugly, degrading, some of them very depraved and quite dangerous. There are also very important statements of love and support that we've been publishing at RevCom.us. So what I was hoping you could talk about, to the degree you're willing to share this, is on a personal level, how do you carry both of those things, both the level of responsibility that you have taken for this revolution and living with that level of hostility aimed at you?
Well, you know, I'd like to say it never bothers me personally. You know, I like to say I never say f- all these motherfuckers, you know. But, you know, then I have to come back, you know, to the science again. Like, why, you know, first of all, let me say I deeply appreciate all the love and support. That's one thing I do want to say. But in terms of the opposite, in terms of these, you know, attacks, you have to go back to the science again. You know, why do people hate me? They don't know me. You know, personally, you know, they never interacted with me personally. I mean, maybe a few have, but overwhelmingly, all these people out there doing this, they don't know me personally. They hate me because of what I stand for, what I'm working for, which is an actual revolution. That's the fundamental reason why they, you know, why you get all this vitriol, all these poisonous attacks, because, you know, actually, the revolution is in the interest of the great masses of people. But at any given time, some people may not, even people whose interests, you know, do lie with revolution, don't recognize that. And then there are other people who have a stake in not having a revolution. There are people whose political programs are based on carving out a niche for themselves within this system or going for petty reforms. And there's two things that what we're doing, working for a revolution, at least to that get in the way of that and mess it up for them. One, it points out that you actually are not going to be able to solve these problems by going for these petty reforms. So it establishes a contrast there. And the other thing is, closely related to that, is it undermines their efforts, you know, to work for reforms that actually end up reinforcing this system and keeping people chained to it. Because here you are, you're out there and you're scientifically showing we need a revolution, and then that shines a light on what these people are aiming for, and it shows how petty and paltry it is. You know, and if you're deeply invested in a pro, I mean, you know, what are these social democrats? They want the U.S. to be like Sweden, which just elected a reactionary government. I mean, you know, that's the highest, that's the best you can think. I mean, you know, just a detour for a second. Why is this happening in Sweden? Because they had all this nice social democracy going. You know, they're not a major imperialist, you know, exploiter, but they are in on the whole imperialist system. They're sharing in the overall loot that this whole Western imperialism in particular is accumulating off of all this vicious exploitation in the world. So this enabled them, with their relatively small populations and isolated from some of the main arenas in the world, to have all these social programs, you know, welfare programs and so on. And they had a certain, you know, culture that went along with that. Now all of a sudden, because of what imperialism is doing in the world, both the wars it's fomenting and, you know, and backing and you know, and causing to, you know, go in certain directions, and just the operation of the system and the way it's uprooting people has caused a lot of immigrants to come into a place like Sweden. And now all of a sudden these immigrants bring with them a different culture. And now this, you know, this very liberal exterior is breaking down. You know, and as you got some of this fascist impulses, like in this country. We're a secular people, or you know, we're people who, you know, don't wear our religion on our sleeves, blah blah blah. And all these other people come in here from these different cultures and so on, and they're going to undermine our whole beautiful thing we got going here. So let's vote for a fascist. You know, so is this your model, you know, people of social democracy? Is this the highest you can imagine, getting some... First of all, this is not Sweden. This is the biggest oppressor and plunderer of people in the environment in the entire world. If you don't believe it, go to revcom.us, and we show it every day. You can go on their website, and we've proven it many times over with actual scientific analysis, facts, and evidence. This is not little old Sweden. This is the most powerful imperialist, and has been for decades, most powerful imperialist oppressor in the world. So when you call all that out and say we need to get rid of this whole thing, you are disrupting the whole attempt at posing as socialist. You know, I mean, you know, one of these people that have made this attack on Rise Up and on you and on me, you know, we're intersectional socialists, whatever, you know. What the f*** are you talking about? You know, this it has nothing to do with actually ending all, you know, so-called intersectionality has nothing. You see, there's a statement interview I did which said that intersectionality fails to understand, and this is fundamental, that it's the system of capitalism imperialism, its mode of production, its economic system at the foundation, that sets the terms for things all over the world at this point, including in this country, but also in countries like Sweden or in countries like Bangladesh or in countries like Angola. You know, if you don't understand what all this is rooted in, you can say you want to try to find the ways to merge and link up these different struggles, but they're going to be set against each other because you aren't getting to the root of things. If you don't get to the root of things, you don't see the way in which the operation of the system itself sets people against each other. You know, you can go into these different countries in Africa, for example. Why do you have all these civil wars? You know, where millions of people have died in the Congo, for example. Well, go back and look at the history of imperialism in the Congo. You go back, you know, 60 years to when the popular nationalist Lumumba was coming forward as a leader, and the U.S. and British and Western imperialists got rid of him, murdered him. And they put in a brutal government that ruled, you know, and brutalized the people for decades while, you know, being a handmaiden, you know, being an accomplice and a facilitator of U.S. imperialism. And all, you know, then, you know, what happens? So think back to the experience of the you know, the Lakota people, the Sioux in this country. They're supposed to get the Black Hills. That was one of the treaties that was signed, so sacred to them. And then they discovered gold and other precious minerals. Out you go. You get driven out. Well, this is what happens all over the world. All of a sudden, you're in an African country, and they discover a precious mineral. Well, then the imperialists contend over who's going to get control of that mineral or that oil or whatever it is. And then they back opposing forces, taking advantage of contradictions among the people, you know, that exist. And, you know, this is why you get these things in the Congo, or why you got the terrible thing in Rwanda, whatever. You can go all around the world. It's the same thing. So if you're not really going after the imperialist system, if you're not going after what all this is rooted in and what's setting the terms for everything, you're not going to be able to link up the struggles of the people. People are going to be manipulated and turned against each other unless we get to the root cause of this and uproot it and overthrow it. So this is what we're putting forward. And then, you know, look, we did not adopt a revolutionary program in order to embarrass social democrats. We did not adopt a revolutionary program in order to show how paltry all this woke stuff is. We adopted a revolutionary program because of a scientific analysis of where all these horrors are rooted in and what's necessary to get rid of them. But then this shines a big light, insofar as it gets out in the world, on all the you know, absolute poverty of these other programs. And plus, if you start winning people to this, then it takes away some of their capital. You know, you're winning people to this instead of people, you know, being part of their thing, and then they can't go to the NGO and say, we got a lot of people, so we need a lot of money, and so on and so on and so on. This is why they hate us, and this is why they hate me, as a concentration of this. And, you know, so I have to, you know, get up in the morning and go, "F*** all you motherfuckers." And then I have to say, okay, let's step back and remember what this is about. This is not about you. They're only hating you because you're doing what needs to be done to shine a light on all this and to struggle with people about what's the way forward out of it. That's why they hate you. So, you know, you can't just, you know, I'm not going to pretend it doesn't bother me, but you have to rise above that. And this applies to everybody, because everybody's part of this is going to get attacked in various ways, in very nasty ways. You have to rise above that because of what it's about. Why are you doing what you're doing in the first place? That's the reason you have to rise above it. And it's not we should let these attacks go unanswered, and we're not. But we have to remember, what's the real content of this? Why is this actually happening? What is it they really hate? And therefore, you know, how do we respond? We respond on the basis of continuing to work for what it is that they hate. Not because they hate it, but because it's what needs to happen. And they hate it because it's what needs to happen, and they don't want to go there. Because it requires sacrifice. I mean, this is a minor sacrifice. I'm sure there are going to be much more scurrilous attacks as we go forward, especially as we gather in, you know, forces for this revolution. It's going to go to a whole other level. It's going to be in the gutter in a whole different way. But that's part of the process. Again, we don't let these attacks go unanswered because it's important that people understand where they're coming from and what's the reality out here that, you know, is the basis for these attacks and what we're about and why we're being attacked because we're about what we're about. But this is a minor thing compared to the sacrifices that are going to be required. And as I've said, this is not some bunch of monks, you know, whipping themselves, you know, to get themselves right with God and to try to purge their sins. This is not some kind of religious-oriented sacrifice. God forbid. This is, you know, not about cultism, much as they like to say that. It's about the emancipation of humanity. The point is not to sacrifice. That's not the goal. The goal is to win, to make revolution. But that's going to require sacrifice, and we have to be ready, you know, oriented toward making those sacrifices in order to get where we need to go, in order to bring forward the masses of people who see that we're serious about this. It's not that, oh, come and attack us so we can show we're serious, but, you know, but understanding we're going to be attacked, but more than that, understanding that we have to, you know, you have to go through hell to make a better world, given what you're up against. And it's not that, you know, we're hungering to go through hell, but we're willing to do it because of what is at stake for the masses of humanity who are suffering so terribly and so unnecessarily, and ultimately for humanity as a whole and its very future. So that's how I look at that.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week. Boiling when you run to the sea.
Down press a man.